The Senate Judiciary Committee conducted a hearing that examined deals between brand-name drug makers and generic drug manufacturers that delay the entry of generics into the market. Mary Agnes, could you tell us about that?
At the hearing, Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy, he's a Democrat from Vermont, said that ending such, in his words, collusion between drug makers would be a high priority for the committee. Democrats, backed by Federal Trade Commissioner John Leibowitz, expressed support for legislation to accomplish that goal.
How do these arrangements work between brand name and generic manufacturers?
At issue are deals arising from a provision of the 1984 Hatch-Waxman legislation that's meant to encourage generic drug manufacturers to challenge invalid or narrow patents on brand name drugs. The first generic drug company to successfully mount a challenge get 6 months on the market free from competition by other generic drug makers. Brand name companies can sign agreements with challengers, delaying the start of the exclusive marketing period in return for cash. The generic drug manufacturers benefit because those payments exceed the money that it would have made from selling the drug, and the brand name company comes out ahead because the payments are smaller than the revenue that would be lost to generic competitions.
What's the impact on consumers?
Critics contend that consumers lose billions from such agreements, and an antitrust crackdown by the FTC and other parties all but stopped such payments from the years 2000 to 2004. But some recent court decisions have allowed these settlements to begin again. An FTC analysis released at the hearing found that of the 28 settlements between brand name and generics firms in fiscal 2006, 14 of those involved payments or other forms of compensation to the generics firm and delayed marketing of the generic drug. Drug industry lobbyists testifying at the hearing defended some of the payments as pro-consumer, and they said that the kind of legislation favored by the FTC would have prevented generic drug manufacturers from entering into settlements that have allowed some generics to enter the market faster and save consumers billions.
As the new Congress begins, more groups have begun to announce proposals to help reduce the number of Americans without health care insurance. Mary Agnes, could you update us?
Groups representing the elderly, insurers, business interests, and unions are unveiling their proposals that would reduce the number of uninsured Americans with hopes that Congress will take note and either pass these plans or integrate them into emerging legislation on Capitol Hill. For example, AARP, the Business Roundtable, and the Service Employees International Union have formed a coalition to address the affordability of health care. Another group, whose members include America's Health Insurance Plans, Families USA, and the American Medical Association and the Chamber of Commerce, unveiled a plan that would use tax credits and expand existing programs such as Medicaid and the State Children's Health Insurance Program, or SCHIP.
Lawmakers are also coming forward with their ideas. What's new there?
A bipartisan bicameral group introduced legislation that would provide grants to individual states, groups of states, and portions of states to test various health reform strategies. Grants could fund initiatives that include tax credits, Medicaid, or SCHIP expansions, or health savings accounts, and these are all part of a toolbox of ideas that states could use to provide coverage.
How will these ideas play out in the debate over the uninsured?
They certainly reflect the high level of interest in lowering the number of the uninsured, which is now over 46 million. But with funding always a problem and Democrats pledging to follow pay-as-you-go or pay-go rules, which require that spending be offset by spending cuts or tax increases, finding the money to provide health care coverage will be difficult. Yet it's still very significant that such a wide range of groups are pressuring Congress to address the issue.
A Senate health panel is scheduled to vote this week on legislation that would ban discrimination based on genetics. Mary Agnes, could you give us the details?
Senator Edward Kennedy, a Democrat from Massachusetts and chairman of the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions panel, has said his committee will vote on the measure January 24th. The bill, which is sponsored by Senator Olympia Snowe, a Republican from Maine, is broadly supported. Both President Bush and the Secretary of Health and Human Services have called for its passage. Those endorsements, plus the bill's past success in the Senate, the chamber passed similar bills twice in 2005 and 2003 on unanimous votes, give it a good chance to pass once again.
Why is such legislation needed?
Proponents such as Kennedy say that without stronger legal protections against genetic discrimination, patients will not make full use of the medical advances made possible by the sequencing of the DNA code. The bill would prohibit health insurers and employers from requiring genetic tests of patients or workers. It would also forbid insurers from basing decisions on coverage or premiums on genetics information and would bar employers from firing or hiring based on DNA.
What are prospects in the House?
The House has never voted on this issue, and that chamber's version, which is largely identical to the Senate bill, has been referred to three committees: Education and Labor, Energy and Commerce, and Ways and Means.
What do opponents say about the bill?
Business groups say that the measure is unnecessary because states already have their own laws protecting people from discrimination based on their genes. The House and Senate bills would not preempt state laws, which would add a new regulatory burden for business, opponents claim. The Chamber of Commerce has successfully fought the bill in the House, arguing that the proposal has many unintended consequences, including frivolous litigation.
Thank you, Mary Agnes Carey, for Congressional Quarterly.